Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we invite you into this room to fill it full of your Holy Spirit, to move freely among us this morning. Open our ears as we hear your word, as we reflect on Scripture. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, we cast you from this space. You have no place here among us. Feel free, Lord, to move among these words. Rearrange them as you will. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we talk about healing this morning, I don't want us to limit ourselves to the kidney stone we might be working with right now or the ingrown toenail that we've found this morning, or the backache, or the upset stomach. In other words, when we're talking about the healing that I think we need as a congregation, as a community of faith, it's much broader than that. I would say it is that shalom peace that we need to rediscover. Rediscover God's desire for us to have it, and rediscover how we can find that shalom, that healing among ourselves as well. You see, God wants us to be whole. It is our sin that fractures our lives, and that sin comes in many different shapes and forms. We have to acknowledge that, yes, our lifespans are much shorter than we see in the Genesis passages that we've been looking at. If you look at those passages and you think about living 968 years, wow. You know, for most of us, 70 is long enough. 80 is pushing it. 90, 95. Why on earth, Lord? You know, and we sort of go through that pattern. But if you look in the Bible and trace the steps, God has had mercy on us, if you will. He shortened our lives by 60% at that point, and then at the time of Abraham, shortened it another 30%, so that by then we're down to 125 years in that. And I guess I find that as grace, now that I've turned 60 plus. And we must also recognize the fact that death is common. Death is common. It's really common. It's so common that it's common to believers and non-believers alike. So in one way or another, in this mortal frame, when we talk about healing, it needs to fit within those parameters that there's going to be a time at some time or another. And I think sometimes when we don't find that healing immediately, we start playing games. And they're dangerous games. They're games like we aren't worthy of the healing that God would have for us. Or that we've done something wrong. And that's why we're getting this punishment. And we see those things in the Bible. We're going to talk about some of them this morning. What I hope to do is put shalom in sort of a grid work that helps us understand what God is about in healing and how much He desires it for each and every one of us. I think sometimes we often err on the side that maybe God's not willing. Maybe God's not able. We need to remind ourselves of those first lessons in Genesis that we had, that God is creator and maker. There was a missionary in the Philippines, and he was in the marketplace and found a beautiful clip that he used for dollar bills. What is that called? Yeah, money clip. And it was a beautiful silver money clip. Now, I don't know what a missionary would do with a money clip, because usually missionaries don't have that much money. But it was a beautiful money clip, and it was very intricately styled. And so he bought it. And he used that money clip for a lot of years. And of course, probably the money went in, money went out, and it got a lot of use. And 20 years later, it broke. The missionary was back in the Philippines about 20 years later, about that time, and he took the money clip down to the marketplace and asked if one of these silversmiths could possibly fix this silver money clip. And the silversmith looked at it and checked it over. He says, "Absolutely, I can." He said, "Are you sure?" The missionary said, "Are you sure you can fix it?" "Oh yeah, I'm absolutely sure I can fix it because I'm the one who made it. I know how to fix it." In the same way, when we talk about healing and come to God, I think we need to come with the kind of trust that that man could put in that silversmith, because he knew the silversmith had created that clip and could fix it. In the same way, we can come to Creator God and bring our lives before Him, knowing He can take care of it. He can fix it. Now, we often come to that thought that possibly there's an illness in us that we've got because we sinned. Or that this terrible tragedy that's come in our life has come because we sinned. And often we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29 to 32. And Paul's thought as he presses this out is the fact that these Corinthians were doing something against the body of Christ. And so he says it this way: "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you had fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." So we have to acknowledge that sometimes there comes some things our way that wake us up to the fact that we need to get before the Lord and make things right. I praise the Lord for that. I think when I said it on Communion Sunday a couple weeks ago, people were a little, "Huh?" But I welcome God's discipline. Even if he has to give me a kidney stone to get the job done, or wake me up some way by striking my body and say, "Oh, Don, wake up. You need to take care of this." I welcome that. Because I want to be in the kind of relationship with God that we can talk like that. And just like my dad, you know, he'd give me a spanking if I didn't wake up. Maybe it's God spanking, trying to wake me up. We also see that Jesus points to sin as a reason for the situation for the paralytic that was at the pool of Bethesda. In John chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. "The man was healed and had no idea who it was who had healed him, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said, 'See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you.'" We don't usually ascribe that thought to Jesus, do we? But Jesus connected sin and that illness that that man had. We also see Paul talking about his affliction and the lesson that affliction was. In 2 Corinthians, if you'd turn there please, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 7. "2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. to keep me from becoming conceited. This is Paul talking, you know, that little dried up old guy. They often have pictures of him all crunched over. And to help keep me from being conceited because of this surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake, and that's Paul talking, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we see in Galatians chapter 4 that obviously this thorn in his flesh must have had something to do with his eyesight. Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. And this again is Paul talking. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Jesus Christ himself. What has happened to all your joy? Can I testify that if you had done so, you would have torn out your own eyes and given them to me? How have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? So obviously when Paul was talking to the Galatians, at one point in time, they were, you know, they saw Paul's affliction, his illness, his eyes, and they'd be willing to give their own eyes to help Paul out. It's also obvious by this passage that Paul was taken to the Galatians because of his illness. He was there for a period of time to recover. And in that recovery, they were brought the gospel. God used that illness to reveal to a people Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God is bigger than we are. God is bigger than we are. I know when illness comes, we often draw ourselves into a small, small world. In 2012, when I had that wonderful set of kidney stones, I'm not sure all of you knew what all we went through during that time. Maybe it's a good thing you don't. But there was 4 months that we dealt with those kidney stones, every 6 weeks going in and having them blasted. It got so bad that I was in the hospital for infection for those 4 days. And I'm glad we didn't have a lot of visitors because I really wasn't aware of the world around me. I was saying, Jesus, come quickly. It was, yeah. Some of you have had kidney stones. You know that feeling. In that period of time, you don't need the details. But one of the lessons that came out of that 4 month period of time was how short this life is and how quickly things can change. I mean, I was going great guns at things, and I was doing a lot of things at that time, and I was fairly active. And I woke up at 4 a.m. was the first time we had the first kidney stone. And I drove myself in. Bob told me later that Bob Miller said, don't ever do that again. And I didn't. So I did, didn't I, though? I'm trying to figure out where the Spirit wants me to go with that. The next time it hit, when the infection hit, I was actively cleaning house, helping Charlene with the house, and all of a sudden, bang, we knew where we needed to be. God is bigger than we are. His plans are more grand than ours. Can we accept, now can we really grab a hold of this, that a man might be born blind in order to glorify God? Because if we go to John chapter 9, that's what we see. We see a man that was actually born blind. It didn't have anything to do with sin, didn't have anything to do with what he'd done or what his parents had done, and they try so hard to connect those dots that evidently this man is born blind because of sin, but it had nothing to do with sin at all. But this man was born blind, and Jesus says, Rabbi, he was asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must work with him for him who has sent us. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's Jesus talking. And he's pointing out that that man actually was born blind so that God could be glorified. In that same way, when trials and temptations, when illness, when relationships are broken, when we sin, can we accept that in one way or another, God could be glorified in the healing? That God could be glorified in the healing. Because I want to point out, when things are going well, do we really give God enough praise? We did really good in our praise time this morning. But when things are going well, do we really praise God enough? Do we really give Him enough glory? That sometimes maybe the lesson is in the awakening that comes from trial, that God can be glorified. I also believe that in this day and age where we've become so reliant on the medical world, sometimes we need a few miracles that sort of set the doctors and nurses back and say, whoa, this is not how this usually happens. This healing doesn't usually come around this dramatic. I believe in this day and age, possibly we as lay people might bring faith into the medical community by living out His healing while living out the healing they're offering as well. There is sin. And I'm offering this morning that when we talk about healing, when we talk about shalom, when we talk about making peace, the sin part's the easy part. And you say, oh yeah, you didn't know what I did this last week, preacher. But think about it. In lieu of all the healing that's needed, our guts, our backs, our feet, our relationships, our kinships. Out of all that healing that's needed, the confession of sin is the easy part. The confession of sin is the easy part. We often think about the time that perhaps Jesus isn't healing us because something's going on. And we think about Mark chapter 2, the time when Jesus didn't bring healing into a town. And it says in verses 4 and 5, since they could not get him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. Excuse me, I'm on the wrong. And after digging through, they lowered the mat and the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he healed them. Faith heals. I might as well just give this up. This is not helping me at all. So this morning, I want us to think about those things that are getting in the way of healing. Maybe we've said by parameters that, well, Jesus isn't going to heal me because I've got this sin in my life. This would be a good morning to take care of it. And maybe we're saying we just don't quite trust Jesus to get the job done. Maybe it's in a relationship and we feel like we've done our part to make the mending, but it still hasn't happened. But we can bring our part once more and ask for prayer. Brothers and sisters, what I'm asking is that at Lower Deer Creek, gathered in this place, we begin to trust that God is at work in our lives as individuals and as a body. That we begin to trust each other rather than saying, getting at each other. That we begin to say those things we need to have said to bring healing once again. It seems like when we had a goal out there we were looking for, we were unified. And what I felt last Sunday when I was sitting on that front pew, that there was a lot of ache and hurt. And we were not unified in addressing it. The healing of God comes to us as individuals and as groups as we trust each other enough to bring it forth. You see, in that James chapter 5 passage, it talks about confessing our sins to one another. And there's one place I'm disappointed that we don't do that more. That we don't confess our sins to one another more. And I do hope as a leader I'm modeling that confession piece. And maybe I need to do that more. But folks, I'm not hearing it among us. I'm hearing, I wish somebody would do it this way, and I wish somebody else would do it my way, and I wish this would happen this way, and that would happen this other way, and I'm hearing a great deal of that. And it's all right to share those things. But what I'm not hearing among us is that we love one another enough in light of God's love that we're willing to come forth and say, you know, I need to confess this before you. I have these feelings. I need to get this taken care of. Can you talk us through it? This morning, our prayer time is going to be a little different as we think about this healing. And I hope that we begin to pray for one another up and down our pews for healing. The first part of it, we'll be praying for those things that need healed. What I'm going to ask you to do is just stand, say the name of the individual, and say what the illness is. So in other words, I'd stand up, and if I wanted prayer for myself and my kidney stone, I'd say, Don, kidneys. Maybe someone else is experiencing a broken relationship. You'd name that name and say relationships so that it's very quick and we're doing this because the second piece is going to happen. In the second piece of our prayer this morning, we're going to have prayer in the pews. So these people who stand up and share a name in our pews, I hope we have these prayers going on all up and down our pews for each other, raising up these concerns and prayers. But we're also going to open up in case you're broken this morning. We want to do as much as we can towards healing. So Steve and I will be up here and we will pray for you. If you come up, we will pray for you up here on the platform. There also will be individuals here to help pray for your an work with anointing. They will pray for you and anoint you with oil. And Dwayne will be up in this corner, and Randy will be up in this corner, and Sid will be back in that corner, and Kathy will be up in that corner back there. So that we're offering you not only prayers in the pews, we're offering you the opportunity to come to somebody for prayer. But this will be congregational. I don't want to do a lot of praying. I want us to pray for each other. Do you have any questions? Was that really muddy? So let's start the first part. So if you have something that you would like to raise in prayer, a health concern, a healing, if you would stand, I am asking you to stand so people see where you're at. I'm asking you to stand so that people in your pew know who they're praying for and who they're praying with.